This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Portland, if you've ever wondered where to get your Blazers, Ducks, and Bees, it's right here on the airwaves of 1080. 1080 The Fan with Danny and Dusty. It's Danny and Dusty and Rust from noon till 3.
Hour number 3 here on Danny and Dusty on a Thursday afternoon, and it's still sunny. Is it supposed to be sunny this weekend?
Yeah, man. Hey. Oh, Sunday, I think it's supposed to get a little bit more cloudy and get a little bit colder.
Is this our last fake spring?
No.
No? This is just the long one?
What is it, the first day of summer? June 21st? Is that what it is?
So we have maybe one more?
One more?
I mean, it's damn near the end of April.
Yeah, no, we got like 4 more.
All right.
4 more. Like, two to three good day runs where like, hey, turn in the corner, and then sideways dumping
crazy thunderstorms.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
That's always fun. All right. As we get into hour number 3 here, one thing I wanted to hit. So much we talk about the local view, and when you, I mean, this, I'm speaking for me personally here, when you cover one team, and I'm a sicko, and when I'm not covering Blazers games, I'm watching NBA games endlessly. Let me just quick shout out to YouTube TV and the 4Box with NBA League Pass.
Hey.
Literally having 4 games up on the screen.
Bigs up.
Oh,
big ups,
God,
bros.
That is just it's the only thing that League Pass product has gotten right. Also, on that note, maybe breaking some news here. Don't be surprised if you see League Pass thoroughly disrupted and improved this summer.
Oh, really?
With the move to Amazon and NBC happening, the NBA does not want that product, League Pass product, to suck going into that.
Yeah, all right.
So it might finally happen. It was going to happen next summer, regardless. Either Amazon or YouTube was going to, like, Amazon has the right of first refusal on it, which I don't think they're passing on. But it was going to be Amazon or YouTube that was going to pick up the product next year and go forward with it. Now it sounds like it might happen this summer.
All right.
So
that's good.
Yeah. And again, the national view, like Kevin Pelton's up in Seattle. He does come down for some games, but he's not here every single night. And Lord bless him, because he definitely didn't want to be here in the early parts of the year for what the season was for the Blazers. But if you look around the landscape, whether it's CBS Sports, whether it's ESPN and Pelton and the guys there in general, basically, everyone has graded the Trailblazers season as a B or B plus.
Yeah.
And it's not because of the win total. It's because of what they found in Tumani Kamara, of which the awards were due, I believe, yesterday at 3 p.m. So we should start getting the first leaks for who made what teams and stuff like that. Probably over the, I would imagine, starting tomorrow.
Perfect.
So, but the so much of this was concentrated on Tumani Kamara and his development and him becoming basically an all defensive team player. Like that's real. Denny Avdia, and not just the. I've heard from multiple voters that they are going to put Denny as their most improved. He's not going to win it. He's not going to win it.
But that is a little nod. It'll be on his basketball reference.
He was seventh last year in MIP, and I think he'll probably finish right around the same spot because one of Cade Cunningham or Evan Mobley is probably going to win it, which to me is not the spirit of that award. It's honestly, it should probably go to Norm Powell. If I had a vote, I think it's probably where I'd put it.
Norman Powell, and that's a weird thing. It's like,
a guy who's 31 years old.
But it should be like a resurgence player of the year.
Sure. I mean, they had the comeback player of the year, but a lot of times that was because of somebody being suspended for drugs.
Well,
which is where this has kind of gone to.
Comeback player of the year, Norm Powell would fit into the Joe Flacco comeback player of the year. It's like, just because he's old and he came back and played okay, doesn't make him a comeback player
of the
year.
Well, he wasn't injured. It's just like, he's just playing on a level that he's
never
played
at. Neither was Joe Flacco.
Fair. He was just out of the league. But if you take
sucked.
But if you take a look at where they kind of have things, like
DeMar Hamlin died.
I've seen a bunch of people who are like, well, the Blazers could have been further down in the standings and you know, they would have improved their draft lottery odds. Why couldn't they be like the Toronto Raptors? This is what Kevin Pelton had to say about the Toronto Raptors. No team finished closer than four games in the standings to the Raptors, symbolic of their aimless position between the group competing for the play-in and those prioritizing lottery positioning. Toronto couldn't avoid going 12-12 in March and April against a historically weak schedule and will enter the lottery in the seventh spot. There are some development success stories, including Ochai Agbaji and undrafted rookie Jameson Battle, but their most important players, Scotty Barnes and Emmanuel Quickley, saw their progress stalled by injuries. D plus. They got nothing out of this year. And that's what I talk about, like, when the Blazers, if you go, well, what if they had gone to the young guys and they had lost a few more games? Like, you probably would have been here. At best, probably seventh. If you squint, maybe sixth best odds. But you would have probably shut down Shaedon Sharpe. You would have probably shut down Tumani Kamara. You would have probably shut down Denny Avdia. The three players that right now have shown the biggest leaps in growth and the best opportunity to push forward. And you wouldn't have really gotten that much out of it. That's where I ultimately end up falling on this. In that the gains that you got, regardless of the wins, losses, I don't care. The identity and growth of those guys, and that's kind of the overwhelming sentiment from basically every report card that we have. As it pertains to the Trailblazers, Pelton did give them a B. And that's ahead of teams like the Jazz, who ended up as a B-, the Knicks as a B-.
The Jazz got a B-. Mm-hmm. There. Their coach went absolutely bonkers on their team, hated the losing. They lost an incredible amount of games, but what is the reasoning behind them getting a B- there?
So this is word for word, bar for bar. Mission accomplished. The Wizards' last second win on the final day of the regular season assured Utah the league's worst record in a top five pick, their first since taking Dante Exum number 5 in 2014. Still, it would have been nice to see more progress from the young players already on Utah's roster. Rookie guards Isaiah Collier and Cody Williams predictably took their lumps, and the development of 2023 lottery pick Taylor Hendricks was upended by a season-ending injury in November. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that has to do with, what do you have on your roster?
Yeah.
Outside of Lauri Markkanen and Walker Kessler, what else do you have? And that's sure. The question is, did they put those guys in enough of a position to develop?
But the whole thing, what he started with, mission accomplished, mm-hmm. right? The Blazers, they didn't expect to win games this year.
No.
And look, the idea that they were gunning for the play-in, don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if your mission is to get your odds better to land the transcendent player, you can accomplish that mission and still see some growth from guys. Like, you can do it.
That's the thing, is they didn't.
But you can do it by pulling the ripcord and saying, enough is enough.
It's probably one of the things I want to do this summer, is take a look at that and look at the tanking. And again, this isn't just for the Blazers, just in general. How many players, selected in the lottery during this period who end up playing on tanking teams for 3-4 years, how many of them actually turn out? Because off the top of my head, I feel like that number is going to be pretty low.
Yeah, but if you're going to take the path of the Houston Rockets, which apparently the Blazers are, being in the top four matters.
Sure.
Because that's what they did.
Yeah.
For 4 straight years, we're in the top four. And like that, that is how they built this thing out. And the thing about it is like, players either have it or you don't, right? Mm-hmm. You either have it or you don't.
The draft is so luck dependent. It's not even funny. Like, again, when you're talking about the Houston Rockets, one of those top four picks, a number three, is Reed Shepard.
Yeah.
Is he your normal number three overall pick? Probably not.
No, he's a rookie still. Yeah. But you either have it or you don't. And whether it is Denny Avdia, Tumani Kamara, Shaedon Sharpe, wouldn't they have it? Even if you shut them down this year, wouldn't you still have it? Because that's the whole thing. If those guys, and what you were like, oh my gosh, they surprised everybody. They still have that within them.
Yes, I don't know how much it actually happens if you're shutting all the other guys down around them earlier. Because remember how bad Denny's start was. And then he came off the bench for, was it 20 games? It was January 18th or 19th. It was like right when that run started was when Denny came back from the ankle injury and became a starter. And that's when that run happened. If you're talking about shutting him down post All-Star break or right thereafter, that means you had 2 weeks of it. And is that...
But you know you have it.
2 weeks is a sample size
but
now?
But no, the guys, if they have it, they have it, right? And so if you shut them down, what would change heading into this offseason?
I think you're still looking at the data collection part of it because it's such a small sample.
And that is totally fine because the goal is to acquire talent. Mm-hmm. Talent acquisition is number one. The talent would have been here and would have stayed here. And I think that's kind of where a lot of the Blazer fans sit is that, look, those guys were still going to be on the roster and you exponentially help your odds to get that transcendent star.
Well, I've read to you all the other teams. This is what KP had to say
about
the Blazers. The Blazers managed to go from the bottom of the West standings to an unlikely play-in push by virtue of their internal development. Forwards Denny Avdia and Tumani Kamara emerged as building blocks, while Scoot Henderson showed important progress. One concern, the defensive improvement that helped earn coach Chauncey Billups and GM Joe Cronin contract extension was built in part on poor opponent three-point shooting. That's three-point variance, and that is very true. I mentioned this, it was either in the postgame or in one of my articles in like late February. Trailblazers opponents could not hit a corner three to save their life. It was something like 31%. It was over a long stretch.
And they played a lot of really bad offensive teams in the back half of the season.
However, Portland also forced more difficult shots and ranked third in forcing turnovers over the final 41 games.
All right.
So basically what...
Thanks to Denny.
Yeah. KP, what he's saying is the defensive identity is real. How much of it, though, is based on opponent three-point variance. Now, you're going to have ebbs and flows of it through a season. Like, that just happens. You get teams that are hot. You get teams that are cold. The only thing you can really influence is where shots come from. And you can try to, like, you can talk about limiting corner threes, but the reason corner threes happen is because of multiple actions. That's why they're high quality shots. Not only is it the shortest distance, but corner threes you don't run plays to get corner threes. They happen because a defense is in rotation, and that is either early in the clock, like transition opportunities, two-on-ones, three-on-twos, those kind of situations, or deep in the clock after two rotations where somebody leaves the strong side corner and that shot develops.
Unless you're Ray Allen in the NBA Finals. Other than that,
you don't design quote unquote corner threes because teams are trained to take that away earlier in the clock. Like that's why you see like those why they hurt so much.
Biggest criticism of Terry Stotts in the defense that the Blazers played was they allowed an ungodly amount of corner threes
earlier in the clock.
Yeah,
and that's like those are backbreakers, and that's one of the things the Blazers despite Chauncey Billups being this quote unquote hooper. He does pay attention and believe in analytics. Like it's not the full embrace of like a JJ Redick, but he's not telling the analytics office to go to hell. And don't get me wrong, there are coaches in the NBA that do not believe in them at all.
Most of them are former players. That is actually a feather in the cap of Chauncey Billups right there.
Again, we've talked about the Blazers' offense and how if you gave them a league average field goal percentage from where they shoot, they would have the most efficient offense in the NBA because of where they generate shots from. They are threes, they are corner threes, and shots at the rim. And again, analytical profile. Shots at the rim, shots from three, particularly in the corners. And those are the things that they generate. They just don't finish them. So they got that going for them.
That's a problem.
But if you're looking at it, and again, this is me trying to be optimistic. If you're looking for things of like where there are clear areas of growth, being better as a paint finishing team and being a better three-point shooting team. Yep. Those are two very clear areas of growth where if they are able to accentuate that, if they are able to grow that, that's how they improve.
God.
So one way they could also improve, carrying on from yesterday, we asked, would you kick the tires in Zion Williamson? Now, would you actually pull the trigger and what would it look like? What would you have to give up to make that happen? Coming up next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
We dove into this yesterday because this is what the Trailblazers are going to be over the next couple of months. what will they do? What can they do? What opportunities are out there? And the first one that everybody is talking about is the potential for Zion Williamson to be traded by the New Orleans Pelicans. All the reporting around the Pelicans is that Zion Williamson will indeed be on the market. And again, I mentioned this yesterday, he's been on the market for 2 years. Like, that's not been a secret. What they've been trying to do is recruit some value. Like, that has been the part, because his availability is such a massive question.
Well, part of the one of the biggest issues that in trading Zion Williamson is that, one, you have a depressed asset in Zion who cannot stay healthy. And two, now you have an edict coming down to your new general manager that he must trade him. That is not the leverage play that most teams like to have when you were trading a phenomenal talent when he is healthy, right? Like, this is one of those situations where there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to lowball New Orleans, not on the salary, because it has to match salaries up, but for the quality of player that they are going to get.
And or picks.
Yes.
And that's the thing, is it's one thing to kick tires, which, again, I will beat this drum until there's a hole in it. Make the call on everyone.
Call them.
Because after Luka Doncic, you make that call, man. Yep. It's terrifying how many transactions have come out of that. And I'm not talking about Luka. I'm just talking about, hey, and we mentioned before the Jimmy Garoppolo to the Niners, you know, situation of they called about Brady, but they're like, how about Jimmy G?
How about Jimmy G?
Like, so many transactions, particularly in the NBA, where the power brokers, the agents, have so much sway and control. A lot of times when guys are trying to find their way to a certain situation, they have a quote-unquote blessing from the current team's front office of, hey, look, if you find something that you think is reasonable, you can go ahead and bring it to us. And a lot of transactions are done that way. And that's why somebody like Pat Riley, who has had these relationships for 40, 50 years and knows everyone, and yes, he's the godfather for a reason, but why those transactions, oh, you're like, oh, why does it always take place with Pat Riley and Danny Ainge? I'm like, I don't know, because they've been around since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
That's why.
They know everybody. They have a history in, like, whether people like it or not, because Danny Ainge is always accused of fleecing whoever he's in a deal with.
Mm-hmm.
He gives a package that is enticing to whomever he is dealing with. Even that Brooklyn Nets deal where they got everybody, they got their big three, but all washed. It was like, that's what Brooklyn was like, yes.
They gave up their, that's the thing, is you have to have the thing that somebody wants, but also the Celtics in that process gave up their ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they did. Like, and that is a difficult thing, no matter what ownership group you were talking about.
Yep.
Because that's like, everybody always wants it to be basketball, basketball, basketball. It's like, well, if the revenue's not there, the basketball don't matter.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest, guys. That's the reality of this for every owner. And I'd say sans Mark Cuban when he was an owner, but even him, like, there were times when he made moves of like, yeah, no, we need to merchandise and we need to generate buzz. Like, that's a part of all this stuff that you have to factor in. Like, look, man, the Blazers and the position they're in, like, financially from a recognition standpoint, went out the window with Damian Lillard. They went from having a guy that had the second or third amount of endorsements in the entire NBA behind LeBron and Steph. If you don't think that impacted them financially, you're out of your freaking mind. It didn't cripple them, but it hit them very hard.
Yeah.
And so that also feeds into, why would a team be interested in Zion Williamson? Because we talked about this off air yesterday. You aren't going to a Pelicans game to watch anyone else. You're going to go watch Zion. That's why you want to go.
Well, now, he may not be available. Weren't, yeah. Because he wasn't there.
But the idea of him, like, that's why you're interested.
But it comes down to the freight that you're going to have to give up.
What's
in order to get him?
What's the most you would give up from the Portland Trailblazers as currently constructed to get Zion Williamson?
Player wise,
whatever package, obviously, I mean, people that are texting in on the fan text line, no, you can't give away the things that you don't want and say gimme, 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 because that's not how this works. It's not how it works.
I will say, well, Jeremy Grant obviously would be one because of the fact that positionally that one makes sense to have that one happen. Scoot and the money has to match. Then it really depends on where you land on May 12th, and that's going to change a ton, right? When the lottery is settled, then you go and look. Jeremy Grant's comments after at the end of the season did not seem like a guy who's going to be here very long.
I'll just say it. Jeremy wants to find a new home.
Yeah,
like that's it's not state secrets.
New Orleans could be that. So I'd go JG. I would, and then the second player, which it would take a second player in order to make this happen.
It's got
to
be one of the young guys.
It's wholly dependent on where you land in the draft and who you think is going to be available there. I mean, and then pick-wise, look, you're in a really weird situation with the stipulations on some of the picks moving forward and as a result of the Dame
pick that goes out.
And 2028, you really can't trade your pick until 2028. Thanks, Neil. But at that point, you're probably going to have to send out one of the picks that you get from someone else.
A swap or one of the picks.
Yeah. And that's kind of brutal, too.
The Blazers can get in a bidding war for Zion, and I don't think it's going to go crazy. I just don't. I don't think the haul for Zion is going to, like, they've recouped some of the value with him getting in shape and his contract having so many stipulations and protections. Like that is a thing that matters, by the way. Like when an owner is looking at approving a deal for Zion Williamson, I'm not just talking in Portland, I'm saying in general, there is a lot. There is more protection on Zion Williamson's deal for an owner and a team than any other deal in the league.
So here, if you missed it yesterday, we went down all of his stipulations. He has to hit his weigh-ins over the year where he has to be under 295 pounds.
Six different times.
And that is 20% of his contract. Mm-hmm. If he plays in 41 or more games, there is 40% of his contract. An additional 20% is guaranteed after he plays in 51 games, and then an additional 20% if he plays in 61 or more games. That would give you 100% of his deal. So weight is 20. 40% for 41 games, 20% for 51 games, 20% for 61 games. And then there's also a stipulation that they can get out of jail free if he injures his right foot again.
There's injury protection on his right foot. And also each year, I believe it's July 15th, if I remember right, his contract is not guaranteed.
Yes. And
so you have the ability to go, nope, I'm out.
So say this year, what we know of this year, at least 80% of his contract will not be guaranteed next year.
Mm-hmm.
He still counts against your cap.
Yes, for the full amount until the calendar year ends.
That's right. But you're looking at, and we don't know, if he didn't hit any of his weight markers, then
doesn't matter.
None of it's guaranteed, which is crazy.
I don't know to think about. I don't know how he signed that. I don't know how he signed it. Mean, I guess it was the only way.
Man.
Hell of a motivator.
I guess so. He'd be under 290. He'd definitely be under 295.
Do you want $150 million more?
And like, that's the other thing, though, about when he got shut down. Think of all the injuries he had this year. Knowing that he had to get to 41 games in order for 40% of his deal to get done. He had calf, hamstring, and back injuries that only allowed him to play in 30 games this year. And he had the ultimate motivator of 80% of his contract hinged on him playing in 61 games. 80% of his deal.
Brutal. Like I asked you, so I'll say mine on this. If here's the difference. David Griffin is no longer the general manager. It's now Joe Dumars. What does he value? Who on the Pelicans does he value?
Yeah.
And what does he see this team as going forward? Like, and I think that matters. Like, would he want a Scoot Henderson? Would he want a Shaedon Sharpe? Would he want a Tumani Kamara? Like, up and down the board, like, what is the thing that they have or that they want going forward? I would imagine that the guys that they have that they are, you know, locked in with are Trey Murphy or Herb Jones and Yves Missy as kind of like the future. I don't know where they sit with DeJounte. because he's coming off an Achilles tear. Like,
is that bad?
And DeJounte Murray is, look, there's a certain level of crazy that comes with players from Seattle. And I say that full well knowing the Blazers have one of Matisse Thybulle. I will tell you right now, Tease has a level of crazy to him. It's a different kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But it's there.
It's more of like a learned man crazy.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I love Tease, but there's some orneriness to Tease. But if holistically, if I'm looking at this, a package of DeAndre Ayton, Scoot Henderson, and something, I think is probably the way the Blazers would probably try to view this.
Yeah.
Because that's what the Pelicans were searching for last time, was Scoot Henderson. So I think that's the path I would probably go down. If you're making this move, you're going to have to give up one of the young guys.
No doubt.
Like, that's part of this. The interesting thing is, if you talk about the draft lottery, if you end up ninth and you see it that way and you're like, okay, if we're going to do this, now we've got, you know, two Zion, Denny, Klingon kind of a situation. Well, now you probably need to find some shooting. And like, you're looking at things like Kasparis Jakaciunas in the draft, mm-hmm. Big guard, can shoot it, can play make, can play off of a guy like Zion, because Zion kind of becomes your de facto ball handler a lot of the time. Tell you what, that's a lot of beef.
It is a lot of beef.
Zion, Denny, and Klingon. It's a lot of big boys. I mean, and two ain't tiny.
No, he's not.
Like, honestly, that's kind of crazy when you think about that. So... But that's ultimately where I am on that. Up on the Twitters right now, at Danny and Dusty. No poll this time. It's a question. What's the most you'd be willing to give up? All right, coming up next, I want to have a little bit of fun with audio because Joe Mazzulla likes to do absolutely crazy things. And I've just got to play this for you. I don't know if you've heard it yet, Dusty, but Joe Mazzulla has a new favorite movie.
Oh,
yeah. And we'll get into that next. First, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm ready, Slick, are you? There's really no arguing it. Joe Mazzulla is a psychopath.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. And I don't say that in like a negative connotation. He's just a psychopath.
Maybe not even like the harmless kind.
No. Like, he's just a...
Maybe not.
Just a different bird, man. He's wired differently. And I don't even think the stuff that he talks about and does, I don't think it's fake. I think he's just a weird bird.
Definitely is a weird guy.
And one of the things that came out of this a year ago was his infatuation and love of the movie The Town. and how he watched it so many times. And I was like, okay, that's a little too Boston, dude. I need you to chill out. Well, he hopped on with the Pardon My Take guys, and they asked him about the town and if he has a new movie going forward.
Is there a new movie that you got that you've been obsessively watching? Because obviously we talked to you last year about the town. Do you have a new one in the rotation?
So 11 days, we've got The Accountant 2 coming out.
Yeah. That's so perfect. I mean, how many times? All right, so let's say you guys go back-to-back. And we have you back on after you win it all. At that time, so it'll be, what, 2 months from now, how many times would you have guessed you've seen Accountant 2?
Oh, I mean, every off day in between a game. If it's as good as I think it's going to be, I'll watch it every off day in between. I mean, that first one's unreal, isn't it?
Yeah, I just saw it for the first time on Friday, actually.
What have you been doing for the last, like, 15 years?
I've been watching The Town, mostly.
Boy.
I will say, The Accountant, the first movie, loved it.
Yeah, it was a good movie. It was a good movie. Here's the thing, though. He is so Boston, it's sick. The Town and then a Ben Affleck film?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Know your
audience.
It's gross, but look, give him props. Also, like, the fact he was like, oh, no, every off day. And the hilarious thing about it was he knew exactly how many days until it came out.
Well, he'd obviously prepped for that because those guys have, every time they've talked to him, they bring up The Town.
Yeah.
So he'd prepped for, all right, I got a new movie. Mm. This is what it is. And something with that weird bird of being Joe Mazzulla, it tells me he's had a countdown in his head for a couple of months on how many days until The Accountant 2 comes out.
I'm going to go see it.
You're going to go in theaters and see it?
There's three movies that I'm going to go see in theaters over the next month/6 weeks. Warfare.
Okay.
The A24 movie, which everybody I've talked to who has already gotten a glimpse of it is like, brother, it's the realest thing that I've ever seen. I'm like, and these are other military
members. I have not even heard of it.
Oh, the next break, I'll show you the trailer for it. It's incredible looking. The Accountant 2. I actually do want to go see that. And because I'm a Marvel whore, I'm going to go watch Thunderbolts.
Okay. I'm not going to lie to the people. I won't see any of them. Really? I'm not.
None of those are drawing enough in.
I'm excited to see the Thunderbolts.
No, I just don't go to the movie theater.
I guess with kids, it's also difficult.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
When we go to the theater, it's for a kid's movie.
If I have a couple of hours, I ain't going to be at a movie theater. See the sunshine out there? I'm trying to get to a golf course.
Yeah, look,
let's go, baby. I'm picking sun's up out late. Down.
I will tell you this though, my new movie hack is going to the early morning movie, like the 9:30 or 10 o'clock showtime when they're number one cheap and number two nobody's in there. It's a nice experience.
Yeah, I think we did like a 10:20 a.m. Snow White.
Tell me the kids. Tell me the experience wasn't better.
There was like four people in there.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
You just sit wherever you want. There's nothing. The place isn't packed. Like everything's like still clean from the night before kind of a situation. Like
popcorn and junior mints for breakfast.
And the popcorn's fresh.
Like popcorn at 9:30 in the morning. I don't know if I could start my day
like
that.
You've done worse.
Well, I've done worse, but I've enjoyed the taste.
I will say this.
Would seem a little weird. Popcorn early.
Popcorn and sports adjacent. There was a clip I saw on social media this morning of DeAndre Jordan at the movie theater and him having to call his nutritionist to ask if he could eat popcorn.
Oh, hey.
She's like, is it buttered? He goes, I won't put any butter on it. And he's telling whoever's filming, I think it's the Nugget social media person, he's like, she's not going to let me have it. She's not going to let me have it. And she goes, you can have a small... No extra butter. He lit up like a kid on Christmas.
Well, I don't know if she's seen what a small popcorn is at a movie theater these days.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure she's probably thinking that's 1,000 calories.
Yeah. She's counting.
Yeah.
She's counting for him.
But it was funny to watch, like, what, 36, 37-year-old DeAndre Jordan basically have to ask mom for permission.
See, that's what Zion Williamson needs to learn right there.
It matters.
It does.
Well, speaking of things that matters, some good news for the former hometown king, Damian Lillard, was announced earlier today. We'll get to that next year as we wrap up today's show on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Talked about this earlier this week. Might have been earlier this week or Friday last week. The potential return of Damian Lillard. Talking to Dame since this news came out, he kept telling me that there is a chance that this could clear and he could make his return. And, you know, when it comes to blood clots, I always thought it was at least 90 days for blood thinners. And that's like, that's the dyed in the wool protocol. But apparently it can differ, particularly if you're talking about somebody who has access to high level training, fitness, monitoring, doctors, all those kind of things. The report is out now. The deep vein thrombosis, i.e. the blood clot, has cleared, and he has been taken off blood thinners.
Look, there's medical professionals that are telling the Bucks, according to Shams, that this is an incredible recovery. Mm-hmm. Unheard of for somebody to recover this quickly, and they are crediting early diagnosis and treatment as the main reason why.
And look, I am leery of this.
They've said it's never been seen before.
Again, I am leery of this. I know how much of a gamer he is and how much he cares and how much he wants to be out there. Like, when you question it with some players, I'm telling you right now, do not question whether or not Damian Lillard wants to play basketball. Do not do that. It's what he lives for. And he knows he only has so many opportunities left. It worries me if he tries to get out there. But here's the thing. The Bucks are not going to put him out there and have a hint gather situation on their hands. They're not going to allow that to happen.
Well, and that's the thing, is that they're saying that the blood clot has cleared, which it's pretty definitive.
Yeah. And they're going to ultrasound him every day.
It is either there or it is not. And so that is the good news, mm-hmm. is that, you know, is he going to be around for... What, would they play Saturday?
He's not playing game one. That is off the table. But you have to let your blood kind of thicken back up, because that's the problem with blood thinners, is if you do suffer a wound on those things.
If he gets cut, he's bleeding.
You're bleeding bad.
They don't play again until Tuesday. So they go Saturday, Tuesday. And when you're looking at it from that point, you're looking at what? And we don't know if he stopped the blood thinners yesterday or today, mm-hmm. but you're looking at 5 to 6 days. If he stopped it yesterday, it'd be 6 days. I don't know if that's enough time, but
I have no familiarity with this at all.
I have no idea how you would gauge that, right? Like, you do a blood draw and then how long is this thing going to go?
I think they do a little
finger prick.
Yeah, test, and then they see, test how. Was it coagulation? Yeah.
So they would go Tuesday, and then Friday would be game three back in Milwaukee. So
be a pretty triumphant return.
It would be. It'd be pretty awesome. I'm just glad to hear that the blood clot has cleared and that he is healthy. I mean, that's the most important thing. Getting back to the basketball court, like Doc Rivers said, hey, man, it may happen at any point, but this series, they were hoping to get him back, and it looks like they will. That's cool.
Which, cool. I mean, it's the only way Milwaukee's going to have any kind of fighting chance.
Yep. Hey, we have got a little news on the Portland Diamond Project.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Yeah, an amendment to the Senate bill that takes taxes from Major League Baseball players. In a 24-5 vote today, they have passed that. So it would increase from $150 million that the Portland Diamond Project would mm-hmm. would take to $800 million in a jock tax.
And this is not a new tax on Oregon residents or Portland residents. This would only occur and only impact the players if they get a major league team.
Yes.
This is basically a way for whoever buys the team to recoup the money of building a stadium.
All right. Well, that's good news.
I'll be honest. I didn't think it was going to pass. Yeah. Even with that, just because of the optics of it. So,
well, just passed the Senate. It still has to go onto the House.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even then, I didn't think it was going to do that.
It's still, I mean, it's not taxpayer money. It's coming out of the pockets of the players that are going to be coming here. So, all right. I saw one of the great Venn diagrams of all time. It has one circle with the name Harrison, one circle with Iamaliava. And where it meets in the middle, it says named Nico and fundamentally misunderstood the market.
For those wondering, reports are out there that Nico Iamaliava is getting $900,000.
After all the taxes are done.
At UCLA, which is not the $2 million he was getting at Tennessee.
Oh, man.
Cost of living, also a lot tougher.
By the way, Tennessee... no state income tax in the state of Tennessee, the volunteer state. You do not have state income tax.
Got a lot of it in California.
All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Friday tomorrow.
It is.
It's already a Friday. Let's go.
A week goodbye.
Coming up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with us again. Sook. Have a great Thursday, everyone.
Bye. I'm Superman and Jason.